You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Good morning, church. It's always a joy to stand before you and open up the word of God. Jordan and the amazing creative team, thank you so much for taking us back down memory lane. It's just something great about acoustic worship and seeing some old school hymn. Who thinks we should do that more often? Yeah, all those 40s and 50s plus. Woo-hoo. And all the youngies are like, what are we singing there, Pastor? No, it is so good. And I love that about Sun Life Church. I love the fact that we are such a modern and contemporary church. But we can always sing songs that draw our affection towards Jesus. And we want to just prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God now. We are back into our Mark series. Amen? So we've been doing a few weeks on Proverbs, wisdom for following Jesus. This morning, I'm going back to Mark. And this morning here, I'm going to unpack the parable of the sower. And if you have your Bible, here's a good time to open up to Mark chapter 4, verses 1-20. It's also a great time to open up the church app because in the church app, you've got the notes and you can follow through with what I have to say and fill in the blanks. Now, for those who may not know, a parable is teaching of a biblical reality, a biblical truth using everyday, commonplace, down-to-earth illustrations, all right? So when we read in the Bible, Jesus was very good with teaching these amazing biblical truths using down-to-earth, everyday, commonplace illustrations. And in this parable here, and if you've been a Christian, if you've been following Jesus for a period of time, you would know that in this particular parable, there is one sower. A lot of scholars will say that could be God or that could be a preacher, so I don't want to go and spend too much time there, but there's one sower. There are seeds, they're all the same seeds, so they're not different seeds, all right? So one sower, same seeds, but four different soils, all right? And that's the parable that I want to look closely. So I'm going to give you a quick overview, and I want to make a couple observations to help us follow Jesus better. So this is a great time. Get your Bibles out. I'm going to pray and we'll get straight to work. Father God, I pray now that you would help me to bring your word with clarity, with accuracy, with passion. And I do pray, Holy Spirit, you will be our great teacher as we sit under your word to hear your word and voice right now. So Lord, would you speak to us? We receive your word this time. Help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Are we ready to go? There are four different types of soil, and the very first soil, I call it the hardened soil. We see that in verse 3 and 4. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Here's the beginning of the parable. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. We stop right there. So these seeds land on the footpath, and the text clearly tells us that the seeds are just sitting there and birds come along and the birds eat up the seed. Farming back then, right, we have to understand Palestine farming back then, okay? They were farming along what you call parallel strips, all right? Parallel strips, and in between the strips, the farmers would walk. And after a period of walking and compression, the lane between the strips will harden up and that becomes like the footpath. All right, so the farmer in the parable is sowing seed and some of the seeds happen to land on the hardened footpaths and these seeds are not taking roots and they're just lying there and a bird will come along and take it away. I know Lydia here is my residential farmer here. You know, Lydia, when we're trying to grow something, right, like I'm trying to grow something at home and a caterpillar comes along or a pesky bird comes along and takes up my seed, man, I am not happy, right? And that's what we see right there, okay? We see it right there. Okay. Have I lost anyone? It's got a bit fire and passion about farming just then. I told you I'm a sensitive pastor. Okay. Soil number two. I call this the rocky soil. Verse 5 and 6. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprung up quickly because the soil was shallow. Verse 6. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. We stop right there. We read this, right, and we have a picture that, oh, it must be a rocky, rocky area where the seeds are actually trying to grow. But that's not the case. That's actually not Mark's description. He's describing, right, a part of the land where there is a thin layer of soil resting on an underlying, right, shelf of limestone rock. So with the naked eye, it looks good because it's just a thin layer of soil. But immediately underneath, there's this shelf of limestone rock. So because there's not a lot of soil, right, the seed, the text tells us, does not take root. There's not enough nutrients, all right? So when the sun comes up, these seeds withers and die. That's seed soil number two, all right? Number three, the seed and soil number three, I call this the thorny soil. Verse 7. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Now, I could be wrong here. I did some research, and Lydia, please correct me if I'm wrong. Please do. I've been told that sometimes there are these dormant weeds, right? They live in the soil, and they're just waiting for the right condition, right? Water, nutrients, sunlight, and they will grow again. And so what I see in the text here was that there are some seed that happens to be planted in an area where there were these weeds. And as soon as the condition was right, you've got the seed growing and the weeds growing, and these weeds will then be thorny and they would choke and they will stop and they will compete against these seeds. And what happens there is that the seeds do not bear grain. That's number three. Have I lost anyone? Pretty straightforward, right? Fantastic. Here is soil number four. Wow, I call this the good soil. The text tells me in verse 8, still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. In other words, you know, if you're a farmer and if your crop is multiplying 10 times, that's a win. But in this case here, there is fruitfulness. There's 30 times, 60 times, even 100 times what was sown. And this is the parable right here. And so what happens in the text, right, from verse 10 onwards, the disciples and Jesus are now moved away, right? And in their time together, the disciples, the 12 and some other disciples, begin to ask Jesus, what are you talking about? What's all this about seeds and a sower and soil? Look in Mark 10:4-10. When he was alone, the 12, that's the disciples, and other disciples around Jesus asked him about the parable. And he told them this. Now, this is now the parable explained. The hardened soil explained in verse 15. Some people, so now he's saying the parable is about people. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. Wow, now we know that the seeds are the word, God's word. There are people who are like seeds on a path, and when the word of God is sown, as soon as they hear it, Satan, the devil, the advocate, he comes, and the adversary, he takes away the word of God that was sown in them. He begins to explain that the parable are actually about people. There are people who hear the word of God, and as soon as they hear the word of God, for some reason their heart is hardened. It doesn't take any root, and Satan comes along like a bird that snatches the seed off the footpath. He begins to explain that, hey, my parable is all about people and my word. The rocky soil explained in verse 16 and 17. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word. They hear the word, and at once they receive it with joy. But since there is no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. He says there are some people, when they hear the word of God, they get super excited. They commit to Jesus. They run forward to the altar. They receive prayer. They fill out a connect form. They want to serve next week. But here's the thing. The next day, it's business as usual. R.C. Sproul tells a story of a person that always comes forward to receive prayer, to receive Jesus. This fellow here, every time the pastor would have an altar call, he would just run forward and says, I want Jesus and I need Jesus. Anyhow, there was one Sunday morning as the preacher was preaching and said, who wants Jesus into their life? Who wants to receive the power of the Holy Spirit? This man quickly puts his hand, runs forward to the front because he wants to receive Jesus. He wants the baptism of the Holy Spirit. As he was running down, a lady in the church shouted out, Lord Jesus, don't feel him because he leaks. There are some people like that. Every altar call, every call to receive Jesus, they receive. But the next day, it's just back to normal. Thorny soil number 3 explained, verse 18 and 19. Still others, like seeds sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Jesus says there are people, they have so much going on in their lives, so much. Always thinking about wealth, their investment portfolio, their next career move. In short, it was all fleshy desires. And that's all they think of. So when they sit under the word, their mind are just completely thinking of what's happening for them personally, and it chokes them. And the word of God takes no effect. Finally, soil number 4, the good soil. Verse 20. Others, like seeds sown in good soil, they hear the word, they accept it and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And we get hope here because the text tells us there is a group of people who their hearts are prepared and they hear the word and they receive the word and their life is fruitful and they're producing a crop of 30 times, 60 times, even 100 times that was sown. And the parable finishes there. That's verses 1 to 20. So when we read this as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to ask ourselves the question, what is this all about? By now, you should know that this Mark series is all about helping us be better followers of Jesus. We should know that a Christian is a disciple, and a disciple is what? An apprentice of Jesus. Is that right? We want to live lifestyles where we do the things of Jesus so that when someone looks at us, who do they see? They see our master. Is that right? They need to look at our lifestyle and go, well, that person is following this master, and this master is Jesus. All right. And the only way for us to really follow Jesus well so that our lifestyle points to Jesus is that we better know Jesus. We have to have a good intimacy with Jesus. And listen carefully, friends. Our intimacy with Jesus is not based on an experience, not based on someone else's experience, but has to be rooted in the Word of God. Amen. That's why we need to understand that when we hear the Word of God preach, when we read the Word of God, we need to receive the Word of God so that our lifestyle bear fruits and multiplies 30 times, 60 times, 100 times, so that people know that we are an apprentice of who? Jesus. And so what I want to do now is I want to give you 2 points. I know you're disappointed because you want 3 points, right? It's only 2 points this morning. 2 points. What hinders the hearers? What hinders us from receiving the Word of God? And what helps the hearers? What helps us in receiving the Word of God? Are you ready? What hinders us? There are 3 things that hinders us in the text. And I want to warn you of these 3 things because right now, some of these 3 things are happening to you right now. As we sit under the Word of God, as a family right here, listening to what I have to say, there are 3 things that are hindering us in receiving the Word of God. Number 1, Satan. Look in verse 15. This is real, and this is important. You listen to me carefully here as your pastor. I'm trying to warn you here. Verse 15, some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, you're hearing the word of God preached right now. Satan, he comes along. You see that the text says, and he takes away the word. He takes away the word of God that was sown in them. We need to know, listen carefully, Sun Life Church, that Satan is real. There is an enemy out there. All right? He wants to really distract us every time we gather as the people of God. And what he likes to do is he likes to throw us in two ends of this spectrum. Listen carefully. On one end of the spectrum, he wants us to think that he doesn't exist. There are Christians who don't think that Satan exists. So what happens is that they think that he's not around, he's not up to something, and they don't see his schemes, and they don't see his trap. And Satan wants a lot of us to think that he doesn't exist. That's on one end of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum, he wants us to always think of him. We're so preoccupied of all things and everything spiritual. We're all Satan this, Satan that. You're driving to church on Sunday morning and it's a red light, and every intersection it is a red light, and it's like red is devil, devil is Satan. It's Satan. And Satan wants me to be late to church. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you should just leave earlier. Yeah. Amen. I'm just preaching to the crowd there. Sun Life Church. Look what Peter says in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, he prowls like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Be watchful. He's there. And so the text tells us that he wants to snatch the word of God preached. And how does he do it? This is how he does it. As you're listening to me preach right now, Satan wants you to think that you know it all. He wants to grow and feed that pride in you. There are people who don't come to Sunday, who don't want to be part of the church because they know it all. They've heard it all. Sunday morning is no longer new information to me. There are people I know that are not here because they know it all. Friends, it's never been about information. Come here, sometimes you get new information, sometimes you get old information, but that's not the point. It's about spiritual transformation. Are you being transformed with the Word of God? If you come here thinking, well, Pastor, you teach me something that I've never heard before and I'll keep coming back, you've missed the point. It's not about information. It's about personal spiritual transformation. That's what he's doing for some of us this morning here. And for those of you who are not here online, I want you to know that I miss you. But don't be away because it's information. It's never been about information. It's about coming here as the people of God, sitting under his word and being transformed with his word. I'll tell you what he likes to do, Satan. He likes to keep us up late at night on a Saturday. He loves that. He wants to keep you up late at night to play that online game to get to the next level. Because all your friend is at the next level. He wants you to have another drink. It's okay. He wants you to dance away into the early hours of the next morning. It's okay. He just wants you to be up late so that when you come here, it's in one ear, out the other ear. And yes, it does encourage me because I get a lot of nods and amens. Yeah. No, it doesn't encourage me. That's what he wants to do. Because he knows that if he can keep you up late on a Saturday night and when you come here, the word is not going to do anything to you. Here's another thing. He likes to grow a prejudice in us so that we already made up our mind if we want to listen or not. I don't like that pastor. He's a rookie pastor. I want to find out when Pastor Ben is preaching so I can come. It's not good. Oh, I heard about Pastor. I heard he did that to someone. I don't want to listen to him. I don't want to respect him. So he builds a prejudice in us so that we've already decided that morning, I'm not going to listen. Satan is smart. And we need to keep that in mind, people. He wants to snatch away what is being preached this morning. Amen? Second thing here is the world. This world here stops us from receiving the word of God. Look in verse 16 and 17. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. And when trouble, see that, or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Jesus once said this in John 15, 18 and 19. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. You know, for the gospel writers, and in this case here, Mark, when you read the New Testament and you see the word world, cosmos, in the Greek, today that word is better translated as culture, value system, practices, social norms, all right? You don't have to be a Christian, right, to know that the world, the culture here is so anti-Jesus. Yes. You don't have to. Well, they talk about sexuality, or they talk about sex before marriage, or they talk about money, divorce. You don't have to be a Christian to know that the world, the culture here is so anti-Jesus. You can go on social media this afternoon and post something on your Facebook or Instagram saying that Jesus is the only way to the Father, which means there's no other way to the Father via Jesus. That means that if you don't have Jesus, you're all going to hell. You do that and you see what happens. All the comments and, you know, I get a lot of it. People listen to what I say and they email me, and I had someone once said to me that I've got blood on my hand for teaching this at Sun Life Church. Wow. Okay. You know, when you decide to follow Jesus, listen carefully, friend. When you make the decision to follow Jesus, guess what? The world is against you. You'll be doing things where you feel that, wait a minute, that's not what the world is teaching. But I want to follow Jesus. And then what happens, there's this trouble. And there's persecution. Can you see that? There's a tension. Following Jesus is never meant to be easy, because Jesus said that you have to deny yourself. You have to pick up that cross daily. It's hard. And the world will actually tell you that following Jesus is wrong. And for some people, the text tells us here is it's too much for them. Too much. They come on a Sunday and they've got these troubles and persecution, and the word of God preached in and out. It's just too much. Why? The text says there's not enough root. They're not digging deep roots. Amen? And that's something we need to understand, that we will always face as long as we're in the world. Jesus says you're not of the world. Okay? You don't belong here, but you're in here. So keep that in mind, that there'll be persecution, there'll be troubles. And when that comes, if we're not careful, some of us will say, it's too hard. I don't want to follow the word of God. Amen? The third thing that really hinders us is our flesh. Our flesh. Look in verse 18. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires of other things come and choke the word, making it unfruitful. You notice there? The worries of this life all based upon what? Wealth and things. Can I say this? There's nothing wrong with wealth, okay? Nothing. A lot of you here have heard me say before that there's nothing wrong with wealth. God has blessed you with wealth. Praise God. Be its master. And I know Sun Life Church, you're such a generous church, and I thank God for you. All right? But look in the text, it says deceitfulness of wealth. Always thinking about it, wanting it more and more. And Paul once said in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of wealth. Some people, they're eager for money, have wandered from the faith, pierced themselves with many griefs. You see that? Wealth is not bad. But it's this deceitfulness, it's the want and the love and thinking about it over and over again. That's destructive. But also in the text, Jesus says what? The desires of other things. Materialism. Other things. I've got to have this. I've got to have that. My next door neighbor's driving this car. I'm going to have that car. And all these things here, whether it's wealth or materialism, is all about what? The flesh. The flesh right here. And the flesh, it chokes us. Why? Because we're constantly thinking of it. We want to fuel it. And that's dangerous. You cannot have the things of the spirit and the thing of the flesh. You can't have them together. You've got to choose. Paul says this in Romans 8:5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the spirit have their mind set on what the spirit desires. You see that? You can't have both. You want the flesh? It's going to grow. You want the spirit? it's kind of grow. You cannot have both. If you sow something in the flesh, it will take root and it will grow. And when it grows, it will choke the things of the Spirit. But I would say this, that if you're willing to sow the things of the Spirit and it takes root, it will overcome the things of the flesh. You make that decision. Amen? And so there are three things that hinders us in receiving the word. Satan, the world, the flesh. And it's happening right now. When we come here, it's happening right now. So what helps us? This is important. What helps you receive the word so that your life will be fruitful? Well, look in verse 20. Others, like seeds sown in good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100, what was sown. I used to be a science math teacher, and I did a bit of an equation there. Pretty good, eh? Hear the word, accept the word, equals produce a crop. Come on. That was inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's in the text, all right? You should know me by now. I don't make up things unless it's in the text. The text is very clear. You want something to help you receive the word? Two things. You have to hear the word. Second thing, you've got to accept the word. Let me talk about hearing the word here. Listen carefully. When you come here, you have to actively want to hear the word of God. You should know by now Satan wants to snatch the word. The world, the flesh, wants to rob you from receiving the word. You need to know that when you come here, it's a battle. Now, can I share something? Have you ever been in a battle before? I have. Yeah. Do you want to hear about it? Many years ago, before I was a pastor, back in the 80s, I was in a battle. It was the grand final of the under 13 basketball championship. Let me say that when we entered this last game of the season to win the cup, I remember watching a lot of Michael Jordan basketball. Come fly with me on VHS, for those who don't know.
Yes.
All right. We didn't have like Netflix or Disney Plus DVD. We had this VHS player. Hands up, who knows what I'm talking about? Praise God, I'm not the only one. And I would watch Come Fly With Me over and over again just to psych myself up. I had to prepare myself. And then I would watch my beloved Perth Wildcats over and over again, especially keeping close eye on Mr. James Crawford.
Amen.
Number seven. Good. I'm just testing this guy out, right? And I would watch it, and this is so true, to prepare myself for battle, psych myself up. We won on the prowl. That's a good Wildcats joke though. I like that. Friends, can I say this? Jokes aside, when we come here, there is a battle. It's a spiritual battle in the mind. Satan, the world, and the flesh is out to get you from receiving the word of God preached. You have to come here prepared for battle. That means that for some of us, a Saturday night prayer or a drive to church Sunday prayer is very, very important. Yeah. We have to prepare our minds and our heart to receive God's word. A prayer like this: God, what is it you want to show me this day? God, what is it you want to remind me this day? God, what is it you want to confirm in me this day? God, I want to come. I want to be present. I want to be here. I want to receive. I'm here to lean in. God, will you prepare my heart to receive your word? If we come prepared like that, there's a very good chance that we'll get something as we hear and sit under the word of God. And if our prayer is not like that, you're entering a battle with Satan, with the world, with the flesh. You got to come prepared, people. Just recently, someone said to me, maybe 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, says, Pastor, I'm going to do that thing. What thing? Lead that ministry. I said, really? The person said to me, I sat under the word. I listened to a message and God confirmed in my heart that I should do it. I'm not ready, but I should do it. But the word was so clear. I am bruised, but I'm not broken. So I'm going to do it. I'm so proud of that person because I knew that if that person wasn't here, seated under the Word of God with a heart ready to receive, there would not be a faith to say, I will tackle that ministry. We need to come and let God speak to us. Amen. Another person said to me just recently, I've been meaning to speak to a friend of mine, a high school friend, about Jesus. But just sitting under the Word and hearing that message, I know that's what I got to do. I'm going to do it this afternoon. For some of us, we need to come prepared. This is a battle. Pray, God, I'm not here for information. I'm here for transformation. God, I want to receive you. I want to hear your Word. I want to just hear, actively hear it. We need to do that. So when we're here, we have to listen carefully with all our might. Listen with our ears and listen with our eyes and listen with our fingers as we write down notes. Highlight the Bible, circle this and say, I've got to work on this. This is an area that God has confirmed in my life. We've got to listen, actively listen. We've got to do that. Don't just go, well, I'm only here for half an hour, so Pastor Ben, entertainment, then I'll go home. No! The Word's not going to take root. Secondly, we need to accept the Word. There must be a humility to accept and know that God knows better than me. So when I read the Word of God, there's certain things that I don't like, but I have to just accept it. Look what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Wow. You know, as sinners, we all want that. We all want a message that we can agree on. We want a message that makes us feel good about ourselves. We want a message that we can give a loud amen. But sometimes when God speaks, He's dealing with our sins. He's dealing with our selfishness. He's dealing with our flesh. And He wants us to trust Him and accept it and follow Him and obey Him. I know it's hard, but that's where we get to say, God, you know better than me. I'm going to accept you. I'm going to follow your way. So as we sit under the Word of God, we begin to hear what He's teaching. We have to say, God, I don't like this, but I'm going to accept this. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to live that way so that people know that I'm an apprentice of Jesus Christ. Don't come here just to be entertained. Don't come here and say, oh, come in and hear my pastor preach because he's going to make you laugh. No, no, no. Come here. Listen actively. With your ears, with your eyes, with your fingers. And accept what God has to say to you. Trust Him. Obey Him. And then your life and my life will produce a crop of 30, 60, 100 times. Amen. I pray that we will be the good soil. I pray that your life and my life would point to Jesus all the time. The way we love our family, the way we love our community, the way we love each other here, and there's a hunger and desire to come here, not to be entertained, not to sing a few good songs, but to sit under the Word of God and say, God, what is it you want to teach me? What is it you want to confirm in me? What is it you want to correct me? I'm going to hear it, I'm going to listen, and I'm going to accept it. Because when I do those two things, I will produce a crop of 30, 60, 100 times while we're serving. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Father God, I thank you so much for this morning that we can just again sit under your Word. Thank you so much for this amazing parable. Wow, Lord, we know that Satan is out to hinder us from receiving your Word. We pray against his evil schemes. We pray against the things of this world. We pray against our flesh, God. We want more of you. We want more of your Spirit to lead us and guide us, God. So right now, if there's anyone here right now, they feel that they're struggling to receive your Word, I pray, God, that you would just remind them, God, you love them. You care for them. You want them, Lord. So God, I pray, God, as a church, we are forever just actively listening, accepting, obeying and following your Word so that our lifestyle will point people to Jesus, because you're the one that we're following. You're the one that we are copying. We want to do the things that you do. We want to live a way that brings glory to you, God. So I thank you so much. You know, I just feel led to just to pray for some of us this morning. And maybe right now this morning, for some of us, you really struggle in your walk with God. Maybe this season has been a very hard season. This whole COVID season hasn't been great. But God has spoken to you this morning, and you can see the dangers of Satan, his lies and his world and the flesh, and you're struggling and you want prayer. So I'm gonna just do this right now. If that is you, I don't wanna embarrass anyone, so there's no one coming forward. I want you just to stand up right now. So I'm gonna pray for you. Really believe that as I pray for you, God's gonna do a work in your heart so that when you sit under the word of God, yeah, he's gonna do a beautiful work in you. So if that is you this morning and you need prayer in that area, can you be upstanding right now so I can pray for you? Yep, just stand. Thank you. You just stand. Yeah, thank you. I'm gonna pray. Yep, it's all right. We're a family. We're not meant to be perfect. Following Jesus is not easy. It's hard. But when we have brothers and sisters standing beside us, praying with us, encouraging us, yeah, it becomes easy. Anyone else, you just stand right now because I'm going to pray a prayer. Because I don't want the devil to get the better of you. I don't want you to think that that's who you are, that's how you're defined. No, I believe that there is a change in your situation. You just stand right now. Yep, thank you. Anyone else? You stand. Yep, just take your time. You stand because I'm going to pray. Because I really believe right now as I pray, something's going to happen. Some stronghold, some bondage we've broken right now. And there's going to be a joy in your pursuit of knowing Jesus, following Jesus, serving Jesus, proclaiming Jesus. If that is you, you stand right now. That's okay. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Good. Anyone else? Good. Just keep standing right now. It's all right. Come on. This is your time with God. This is when you're doing business with God. Got nothing to do with me. Got nothing to do with Sun Life Church. It's you saying, God, I need you. God, I have seen the lies. I've seen the traps of this world, my flesh, and Satan. I want to pray against that, and I want to change my life. I want to live a life that points to you. If that is you, you stand right now. Anyone else? Because I want to pray. Because when I pray, I believe that something's going to happen right now. Anyone else? Father God, I pray right now. I pray right now with all my heart, believing right now that as I pray, you hear my prayer. You hear my prayer. I'm not praying into the air. I'm praying to the Creator God, the one who made this world, the one who created us. And I'm praying for my brothers and sisters and me included. We pray against the evil one in how he's trying to distract us. He's trying to play with our minds. He's trying to take us from being under your word. I pray against his schemes. I pray against our flesh. The desires of the sinful flesh. I pray against the systems and the culture of this world that is telling us to do one thing that is so far from you. So God, help us, God. We need you, God. Will you do a work, Lord, in those who are standing, who says this morning they need your help, they need more of you. Holy Spirit, will you come and fill their heart? Holy Spirit, will you give them all that they need, God, to keep trusting you, to keep obeying you, to keep sitting under your word, to receive you, to be transformed so that their life will point to Jesus more. So God, I pray for this church. I pray for the people who says, I need help. Thank you so much for their boldness. Thank you so much that they're not ashamed to say, yeah, I need help. So God, as of this day, will you do a work in their heart? Will you do a transforming work in their heart? Will they begin to trust you more? Will they begin to accept your word more? Will you do that work right now, God? I pray for Sun Life Church that we are not a church, that we come here just to be entertained. We come here to hear a word and then we go home the same. No, I pray for this church that we come here, we sit under your word and that we are transformed so that our lifestyle points to Jesus. So that our family and our friends and our community know that we follow the Master. And his name is Jesus. So would you help Sun Life Church, God? I pray that we will grow in the area of discipleship, that we are encouraging each other, that we're growing our faith. Will you do that work in us, Lord? Thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Will we be upstanding, church? Can we sing? Can we just worship God as we conclude the service? Let's worship God. I'll ask Jordan and the team to lead us time of worship.